We're going to turn together to the hymn 735 as we commence the midweek service this evening. We welcome you all in the Saviour's name. We're thankful for your presence with us. Think of the words as we sing them together. Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the morning bright and fair? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the heat of the noonday's glare? So hymn 735, and we'll stand together to sing, please.
Sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the morning bright and fair. Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the hay of the noonday square? For the harvest time is coming on, and the reapers work will soon be done. Will your sheep be many? Will you garner any for the gathering at the harvest home? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in a solemn night? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, for a harvest pure and white? For the harvest time is coming on, and the reaper's work will soon be done. Will your sheep be many? Will you garner any for the gathering of the harvest home? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, all along the fertile way? Will you glean
to sing the Lord together? Just commit the meeting into the Lord's hands tonight. Pray that He'll be with us. Heavenly Father, we approach Your throne tonight conscious that You're the sovereign God of all the universe, that You're the one who is the maker of all things. We want to pray at the very outset that You'll still and solemnize our hearts. We ask, Father, that You would make us ready for this service this evening. Your word says that You're to be had in reverence of all them that are about Thee. And we want to pray, Father, that that reverence might come even upon our hearts just now. We think of all that we've been engaged in this day, in all the things of this world, the things of life. And we're glad, Father, of the opportunity to come aside just for this little while. How we do thank You for the midweek service. Thank You for the place of prayer. We thank You for the throne of grace. We remember the hymn writer said that from every stormy wind that blows, from every swelling tide of woes, there is a calm, a safe retreat, 'tis found beneath the mercy seat. We're glad, Father, that we're able to approach that mercy seat. We remember that it's only by the virtue, the value of our Saviour's blood that we can approach unto Thee. Help us, Father, ever to be mindful of the great privilege that You've given to us. We want to pray that you'll deepen in our hearts tonight even the love of the place of prayer. We pray for a greater desire to seek thee. We want to ask that you will bless this year in a very definite way the prayer meetings of this church. We want to ask, Father, that there would be greater concern and desire and burden for prayer that would come upon the congregation. We pray that you'll send others out. We ask thee to give the increase. Lord, we pray that you'll be present with us. You've assured us in the scriptures, even in the context of prayer, that where two or three are met in your name, that there thou art in the midst. We plead, Father, come and be with us tonight. Come and be amongst us. Come, we ask, and be in our midst. But we pray, Father, lead us on as a congregation. Lead us on in the place of prayer. Strengthen these prayer meetings. And we ask that week by week, Sabbath by Sabbath, meeting by meeting, that we will see answers to our prayers, the blessing of God come down, progress in the work, the testimony, the ministry going forward, souls been saved, new people been brought in. We want to ask, Father, even as a church, that you would use us to move this city, to stir this whole city of Armagh. We ask thee, Father, to put your hand upon the work of God here. You've said that you'll make our way prosperous, that you'll give us good success. We ask thee, Father, to hear our prayers. We think of the words that we've been singing. Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother? Pray that even tonight in the meeting, through our Bible study, that you'll renew our burden and our vision of reaching souls and sowing the good seed that you've given to us. We ask, Father, that you'll bless that work. We pray that the seed will fall on good ground. We pray that there will be fruit born. We pray that you'll give us much fruit. We pray for a harvest, Father, a harvest of souls. We want to pray that you'll make us a fruitful congregation. We ask, Father, that there'll be much fruit born even in our lives in coming days. So we're asking just tonight, Father, come for this little while, and we ask that you'll bless the gathering. Come and be with us from the very outset. Come and bless the hearts of your people. Come and encourage our hearts. We pray that you'll bless our fellowship. May we rejoice in the goodness of God that has brought us to your house tonight. And we thank that we can just come into your house, settle ourselves down before thee. All those things that are heavy upon our hearts, all those things, Father, that trouble us and concern us about life and about our circumstances, that we're able to bring those things to thee. We thank you that we're able to cast our burden, even the heaviest burden, upon the Lord, knowing that he will sustain us. So we ask thee, Father, hear our cries. Come and help us. We pray for the power of God now to rest upon the ministry. We pray that our Bible study will be sweet. We pray it will be profitable. And we ask thee, Lord, even to open up the Word of God. We know that we need the Spirit to come and do that. And we ask that this might be an open book in our hands tonight. Hear these our cries. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Returning to the book of Psalms, please. To the Psalm 126. The 126th Psalm. It's just the six verses. We're going to read all of the Psalm together. Psalm 126, the first verse. Let's hear God's word to our hearts. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We know the Lord will follow with his blessing tonight this, the public reading of his word. The final two verses, please. Our text will form the basis of our Bible study this evening. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The theme tonight is formed as a question, set forth in the manner of a question. It is the question, are you sowing the seed? I ask you to consider that question very carefully. It's taken, of course, from the words of the hymn that we sang just a few minutes ago. I can ask you tonight to consider at the beginning of the Bible study, the beginning of the message, is this a work that you're engaged in, a work that you're busy with, sowing the seed of the gospel? I can remind you that we have the seed. God has given it to us. We have it in the Bible. We have the seed in the message of the gospel. I urge you never to forget the value of that seed. It's stressed for us in the words of our text, especially in the words of verse 6, bearing precious seed. The seed that God has given to us is precious because of what it is. Remember, it's the word of God. It's also precious because of what it can do. It can give life. This is the life-giving word. So we have the seed. And having the seed, brethren and sisters, is a great blessing. Something we should ever be deeply thankful to the Lord for. But remember that great blessings also bring with them great responsibility. And one day we will be asked to account. We will be asked to account an answer to the Lord for what we did with the seed of the gospel that he blessed us with. Can I stress to you, it's the burden of the message tonight, that God wants you to sow the seed. God wants you to scatter that seed abroad. That's really the message of these verses of Scripture. The Lord doesn't want you to store it. He doesn't want you to hoard it. He doesn't want you to hide it. What the Lord wants you to do is to sow it. Remember that seed in a bag or seed in a bucket, seed in a basket, whichever the case may be, it will never produce a harvest. Could I sum it up for you like this? It's not the truth that you know, but it's the truth that you sow that bears fruit, and how true that is. So the reality is you must sow the seed, because there will be no harvest without the sowing. So the message of our text tonight is that you must get to work, and get to work for the Lord. That's the idea of the words there, bearing precious seed. There's a work that is needed. There's a work that's required. We need to put in the effort. The seed must be carried forth, must be scattered. That means that labour is required. We must get to work for the Lord. We must get to work in the great harvest field. And that's the challenge. That's the challenge of what the Lord's saying to us here. That's the challenge of what we want to bring from this psalm to your hearts tonight. Want to encourage you to keep at the work. If you're a member of the congregation that's already involved in the work of the gospel, the extending of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, I believe this psalm will encourage you to keep up that work. And I want to encourage you to get into the work. If that's not the case, if you're not already involved in the ministry and the outreaches and the departments of the congregation here, if you're not already involved in the sowing of the seed of God's word, don't be discouraged tonight. Don't faint. Don't give up. Here's a work for all of us to do, brethren and sisters. So ask yourself that question. Are you sowing the seed? This psalm sometimes is called the soul winner's psalm. And that's very appropriate. And our text, especially verses 5 and 6, they teach you how to sow the seed of the gospel. And that's what we want to consider just for a few minutes together. Can emphasize in the first place, you're to sow the seed individually. If you look there at the opening words of verse 5, it says, they that sow in tears. Notice well the first word of verse 6. It says, he that goeth forth and weepeth. Can I emphasize, highlight for you, it doesn't say the minister that sows, or the elder, or the evangelist, or the missionary, or the office bearer of the church, one of the leaders of the congregation. What is clear here is that this is not a work for just a select few. This is not a work for just those who hold a special office in the Church of Jesus Christ. The Lord is teaching us here very clearly that this is a work for every Christian. It's a work for every individual in the church to be involved in. Doesn't matter what your age, doesn't matter what position you hold, what talents you have, doesn't matter how long you're saved, how experienced you are. We want to encourage you tonight to see, here's a work for God. A work for God that you can do, that you can be involved in. If you think of the little maid that we read about in the Old Testament that was in Naaman's home, carried away captive out of the land of Israel, she said one day, just a simple little statement, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria. She was just a little girl, a young girl, in a foreign land, but she sowed a little seed. She made a little statement, made a little witness. She sowed a vital seed. And that little seed that she sowed, it led to Naaman's healing, and even more than that, it led to Naaman's conversion. And the lesson is that if she could sow a seed, that little girl, that little maid, if she could be used of God in that way, then so can you, whoever you are. So brethren and sisters, I want to urge you tonight individually, each one of you personally, to be busy at this work of being a sower of the Word of God. Don't be careless. Don't be leaving this work to others, because God wants you to be involved in this great task as well. You'll notice we're not just to sow individually, we're also to sow continually. Note the word, he that goeth forth. The word there is in the continuous tense. The meaning is that the sowing of the Word of God is a work that you're to be continuously engaged in. You're not just to sow the seed on Sundays. You're not just to sow the seed on special occasions in the life and ministry of the church. For example, when a gospel campaign, a gospel mission has been held. What we've been taught here is that Christians are always to be sowing the seed of God's Word. If you think of the farm, there's really only one time for sowing. That's the seed time, the springtime. It's coming up again very soon. In some African countries like Uganda, there's two seed times. But in most other countries, there's just the one. Just the one time to sow the seed. But in God's Word, in God's work, in spiritual work, that's not the case, brethren and sisters. Here's a great contrast in the spiritual sowing and the spiritual harvest, because the Christian can and should be sowing all the time. And I pray the Lord will reveal that to you afresh tonight. Can I ask, are you doing that? Do you have the outlook, the vision, that every day you're looking, every day that you live, you're on the lookout for opportunities just to be a witness or to sow a seed for God in the hearts and lives of men and women? Isn't it true that sometimes we faint? Sometimes we give up? Paul said to the Galatians, let us not be weary in well doing. Remember, that's what the devil wants. The devil, above all else, wants to stop you and wants to stop the church preaching the gospel, sowing the seed of God's word. Think of what Paul said to Timothy, we're to preach the word, we're to be instant, in season and out of season. That's reinforcing what we're saying earlier, the contrast there is with the spiritual sowing. There's not just a season, one season for sowing. We're to be instant in season and out of season. He's saying, even in the difficult times, even when there isn't or there doesn't seem to be much fruit, you're to keep at the work. Keep at the sowing that God has given you to do. I want you to see Thirdly, that we're to sow the seed obediently. The text says, he that goeth forth. Consider that word forth. There's a lot of truth that is found, a lot of meaning just in that one word. Just let me highlight an interesting truth or fact for you as you think of that. Here's the Great Commission in the Old Testament scriptures. Consider it carefully. We're told here to go. We're told to go forth. We're to go forth for God, for souls. We're to go forth with his word. Can I ask you tonight, why? Why should you go forth? Why should you sow the seed? Why should you go to the lost? Well, remember, it's because you have God's command. You have the divine commission. And can I ask you tonight, are you obeying this command? Are you obeying God's will in this regard? Are you being obedient to his voice as he commands you to go forth and to be a sower of the word? Remember, this command is something that's emphasized in many places throughout the Bible. You think of what Noah was told by the Lord after the flood. Remember, he had first said to Noah, come thou and all thy family into the ark. And then when the flood was over, the Lord said to Noah, go. Go forth of the ark. He was to go out into the world. You think of what the Saviour said to his disciples, go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go to the Jews with the message of the gospel. The Saviour said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The words of what we call the Great Commission itself. So there's no doubt about it. It's the clear message of the Bible. God wants you to go for him. He wants you to go as a sower of the word. And the question for all of us is, are you doing that? Are you going as God has commanded? It may not be God's will for you to go to what we call the mission field. It may not be God's will for you to go to some far off place, some foreign land. But remember, you are to go forth with the seed where you are. You're to go forth with the word of God where you live, where you work, and among your family circle, among your circle of friends. You're not to sit at home. You're not to sit in the church with that seed. Whenever souls are perishing in darkness and souls are perishing in sin. Remember the words of the Lord to Isaiah the prophet when he saw the great vision of the Lord. He's asking, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Who will go to scatter the seed? Will you go? Will you go in obedience to the Lord's word, to the Lord's command, to your heart? So we're to sow obediently. You'll notice as well, we learn here that we're to sow prayerfully. You think again of those words, going forth. And ask yourself, where is he going forth from? And the answer is, he's going forth from God. He's going at God's command, because he's been in God's presence. He's been before the Lord. He's been with God in prayer. He's a person that has been in communion with God himself. Now just ask yourself, is that true of you? Do you pray? Pray regularly. Pray about your work. Pray about the sowing of the seed, the scattering of the gospel message. Never forget, let us as a church never lose sight of the fact, prayer is the path to blessing. The book of Hebrews, Paul said, he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Take those words to heart tonight. Can urge you to pray. Pray tonight for the sowing of the seed of the gospel in this congregation and in other faithful congregations across the land on the mission fields of the earth. Remember, as you think of that this evening, there are many means to sow the gospel seed. Think of gospel literature. Think of the giving out of the recordings of messages held in church services. Even today we're able on platforms and the internet like Facebook to share with others those messages as well. Think of letter writing. Think of Sunday school and children's work and youth work. Think of the preaching of the gospel itself. There are many means to sow the gospel seed. And I urge you tonight to pray much about that. And ask the Lord to show you the work that you're to be involved in. How you can sow the seed of the gospel in this city, in this community, in the place where you live. And then as you see what the Lord wants you to do, the work in which he wants you to labour, ask the Lord to endue you with power. Ask the Lord to prosper your labours. Ask the Lord to use you. Ask the Lord to bless you, your work, in a very definite way. Ask the Lord to give you fruit, to give you souls, the souls that you're reaching out to with the message of the gospel. If you think of the day of Pentecost, it was in the history of the Church of Jesus Christ a day of unparalleled blessing. 3,000 souls were saved in one day. 3,000 souls converted to Christ at the end of one meeting, at the end of one gospel message. Why did that happen, brethren and sisters? Well, one reason that's very clear from the opening chapter of the book of Acts is because the church had been praying. They had been praying earnestly, persistently, unitedly, as a band of God's people. And they prayed down the blessing of God upon their labours. So let us follow that example. The first thing that they did was to pray. Before they preached, before they scattered the seed, the first thing that they did was to pray. And they set us a very good, a very clear example in that regard. You think of the little chorus we sometimes sing, as the prayers go up, the blessings come down. May we never forget the importance of that, brethren and sisters. So they sowed prayerfully. Notice in the fifth place, they sowed tearfully. If you look at verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Also verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. So here we're taught about the tears of the soul winner. Can I ask you to note that it's repeated twice for emphasis in verse 5, they that sow in tears, verse 6, and weepeth. So the truth of the tears of the soul winner is emphasised twice, just to underline it for us, so that you don't miss the message, so that you don't miss the importance of tears in the work of God. The psalmist is saying, he's stressing, as you go, as you sow, you must bear tears. There must be the tears. There must be the tears to water the seed. We water the seed that we sow with the tears that we shed. General Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, one day received a message from an officer in the Salvation Army. The message was saying that the work in which he was engaged was hard, and they could make no progress in that work. The general replied with a telegram with a simple message with just two words: try tears. And that's a vital message, brethren and sisters. It's a challenge. Challenging message to our hearts tonight. Try tears. Not crocodile tears. Not the false tears. Not the tears that are put on. Not the tears that are a show for the crowd. But tears that are real, genuine. Tears that come from the heart. Tears that come from a heart that is touched. Tears that come from a heart that feels for the lost. A heart that is burdened for souls. Tears that come from a heart that is concerned, deeply concerned, for the eternal danger of those that are still unconverted. The question for all of us is a question that is sometimes asked in the Church of Jesus Christ. When did you last weep over a poor, lost, sinful soul? You think of the Saviour weeping over the city of Jerusalem, weeping over a city that had sinned away its day of grace. And we, brethren and sisters, need to pray for that Christ-like burden, that Christ-like compassion for those that are lost in their sins. Think of what Paul said to the elders at Ephesus Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. What a heart he had for the lost. May the Lord touch our hearts tonight and take away the hardness that is found there. So we're to sow tearfully. Notice as well we're to sow widely. The word forth again, if you think of it, it is the idea of going farther. He that goeth forth, we're to go farther. Remember the Saviour in Gethsemane? The Bible says he went a little farther. Just ponder that tonight, of how far the Saviour went for you and I. And ask yourself, will you do the same tonight? As he went a little farther for you, will you go a little farther for him? A little farther in service, a little farther in soul winning, a little farther than you've done before in the sowing of the seed of God's precious word. The reality is, there is never to be a limit. There's never to be a boundary on how far we go for Christ and how far we go for souls. You think of the ministry of the Saviour's earthly ministry. If you think for one example of what Matthew records, that Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The idea behind that record that is given to us is the Saviour just kept going farther. He just kept going forth. He went about all the cities, all the villages, to spread the word, to spread the message. And I urge you to follow that example, brethren and sisters. You remember we're told in the book of Joshua, there remaineth yet much land to be possessed. How true that is. There are still, brethren and sisters, places to reach for the Lord. There's still souls waiting to hear the gospel message. And we need to go forth to those places. We need to go forth to those people. Do you remember the message that the Reverend Moore gave to the young converts just prior to the 1859 revival? Do something more for God. Something more than you've ever done before. And I encourage you to do the same. Do more for God. Do more for God in the sowing of the seed. Go beyond in the sowing of the seed where you've ever gone before. And maybe it is true that the Lord wants someone listening to this message tonight to go further still for him. Maybe the Lord wants you to go to another land to be a sower of the word of God. Do you remember the hymn we often sing, especially at missionary meetings? Where he may lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust him so. So we sing those words. The challenge to all our hearts is, will you go where the Lord leads you? So we're to sow the seed widely, brethren and sisters. He that goeth forth. The final lesson I'll emphasize is, we're to sow the seed assuredly. If you look at the end of the verse, it says, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So here's a great promise. A great promise from the Psalms. A great promise for the sower. A great promise for the soul winner. And the promise is a promise of blessing. It's a promise of the harvest. We're told here not just about the sowing. We're also told about the time of reaping. You're assured that if you're a faithful sower, if you're faithful in the sowing, there will be a time of ingathering. There will be a time of bringing in the sheaves. There will be a time, brethren and sisters, of soul winning. And notice the sureness of the promise, the certainty of it. Notice the certainty of the harvest. He says, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. I want you to see there's not a doubt about this promise that God has given to us in this place. So there's great encouragement here. Great encouragement to you all to keep at the work of God. To keep at the work of the gospel. Keep at the work of soul winning. Keep at the work of reaching out. Keep at the work of being a sower of the seed of God's word. despite the difficulty of the times, despite the hardness and barrenness of the days in which we're in, God assures us here, there will be a time of reaping. And remember that that promise is given in many places in the Scriptures. Think of the words of Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." Think of Paul's words to the Galatians, "In due season we shall reap if we faint not." He said we shall reap if we faint not. Think of the words of the prophet Isaiah, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Brethren and sisters, you sow the seed of God's word with the certainty, with the assurance that God will prosper the work, that God will give you fruit for your labours. Remember, as you think of that, sometimes the Lord tests you. Sometimes he tests us with difficult circumstances. Sometimes the Lord tests you with meetings that are small, times when there's not much fruit, or certainly not much evident fruit. Sometimes the Lord doesn't always allow you to see what he's doing, or how he's using you, or how he's working through you. But remember, at such testing times, we're to walk by faith and not by sight. But be sure of this: if you are diligent as a sower for the Lord, your labour will not be in vain in the Lord. Can I ask you to note, there's some great contrasts here in the text. There's the going, but there's also the coming. "He that goeth forth shall doubtless come again." So there's the going and the coming. There's the sowing and there is the reaping. It says in verse 5, "They that sow in tears." One of the ideas behind that word "bearing precious seed" is to cast or to sow the seed. So there's the sowing, but he also says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." And at the end of verse 6, "bringing his sheaves with him." So there's the sowing and there's the reaping. There's also the tears and the joy. "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." And it says in verse 6 that "he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." So there's some great contrast in the text. But the message is this: there can be no coming, there can be no reaping, there can be no joy, no bringing in the sheaves, no rejoicing over the souls that are won to Christ, unless you first go, unless you first sow, and unless you first weep over those souls and over the seed that is sown. So the great question the psalm asks of us tonight is, are you sowing the seed? That's a vital question, brethren and sisters. Let me finish by saying, when we were in South Wales, there was an old brethren man that we often met in the town of Clonetley. He gave out gospel tracts very faithfully, perhaps 2 days a week, stood in the town centre and gave out many tracts, spoke to many people, made many contacts. He also posted out gospel literature. That was a work or a ministry that he engaged in the winter time, the winter nights. He would just go down the phone book, take addresses from the book. So many every week put the literature, little card from himself, inside an envelope and post them off. Sometimes got back responses, some favourable, some not as so favourable. But he was sowing. He was sowing the seed. The Lord had given to him a literature ministry. And the reality, brethren and sisters, the Lord may have a different ministry, a different means of sowing for you. But the reality is this: the message I want the Lord to write in your heart tonight is, we are all to be sowers of the seed of his word, in whatever means, whatever form that may take. Think of the final words of the hymn we sang a little earlier. Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother? All along the fertile way, would you glean golden sheaves in the harvest, brother? Come and join the ranks today. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. May the Lord speak to all of our hearts tonight through his precious word. 734. It's a similar hymn to the one with which we opened the meeting. It emphasizes, especially in the chorus, the bringing in the sheaves. Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy eaves, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. So 734, and again we'll stand, please.
Amen.